Welcome back to it. It's the Steve Griffith Show on a Thursday, the 29th of August. Good to have you here. My next guest calls himself a utopian socialist, doesn't expect to win the presidency, but it hopes to change the American conversation, if you will. Dr. Jerome Siegel, an American philosopher, political activist from Silver Spring, Maryland. He's also a research scholar at the University of Maryland and the president of the Jewish Peace Lobby. Dr. Siegel, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you here. You're running for president as the nominee of the New Socialist Party. What is the New Socialist Party?
Okay. The name of the party is Bread and Roses. And it takes its name from a historic strike in 1912 in Lawrence, Massachusetts, that is called the Bread and Roses Strike and really has been the subject of many songs and movies and so on. And the key thing in that was that at certain point in the strike, women factory workers, many of whom were immigrants, took over the strike itself, and they marched under a banner that no one had ever seen before. And the banner was very simple. It said, bread and roses too. And the question for us is, what does it mean? What are they saying when you say, and roses too? And what we understood it to be, or the way we're interpreting it, is that here you have these people at the very bottom of the social pyramid, many of them immigrants, many of them making almost nothing, and saying, yes, we want bread, but we're actually complex human beings with complex human needs, and we want beauty in our lives, we want meaning, and we want the time to do things that are really important. And that was, of course, over a century ago, and our view is that in many ways, America today, we've gone from, you know, essentially a scarcity economy in those days where people had to work for 6 months a year just to have bread, or at any rate to deal with the food category in the household budget, to today really an economy of extraordinary affluence in which nobody has to work more than about 4 weeks of the year to deal with their entire food budget. Yet somehow or other, we don't have roses in our life. And so we're sort of asking this question, what background of social economic conditions and policies and so on will make it more likely that the economy will contribute to a deeper sense of human happiness?
Well, and we've reformulated this as kind of... You say we're thriving. I need to jump in here at some point. You say we're thriving, but some people are not. And so... Yeah. Why would you upset the whole apple cart?
Yeah, because I don't think it's a question of thriving materially. So I'll give you an example. You open the newspaper and you read how millionaires are paying bribes to corrupt college admissions officers in order to get their kids into elite public schools. And it's kind of staggering. It's sort of this is what life is like. And the pressures that people feel they're under when they're at the top of the pyramid. And it's a kind of corruption. And then you turn the page and there's an article, I think it was in the Times the other day, Have We Destroyed Childhood? And it talks about how the level of both depression and anxiety of children is higher than it was during the Cold War when we had to hide under our desks when we had these alerts that maybe it'd be a nuclear attack, and higher than it was in the Depression. And the child suicide is higher during the school year than in the summertime.
So what are some of your policies here for the Bread and Roses Party?
Yeah.
What would you change?
A variety of things, okay? But the basic message is something I took from a book by a psychiatrist recently, and it's called The Transformative Power of Feeling Safe, okay? And with that in mind, okay, you ask about policies. One is, I think we have to go in the United States from the idea that life is a race. And when you view life as a race, then the primary social virtue is an equal starting point, the level playing field, equal opportunity, okay? So equality becomes understood as equality of opportunity to try to make it to the top rungs or a very limited supply of good jobs. Okay, so our conception is a different concept of equality. It's yes, of course, equality of opportunity and fairness.
Uh-huh.
But what we want to put on the agenda is equality of condition. How much difference between the top and the bottom? What's the shape of the social pyramid? So we're calling over 20 years, actually, to have a massive redistribution of the social pyramid in the United States, basically massive redistribution of income and wealth. And along lines of that, if it,
that's true. We spent $27 trillion on the Great Society thus far, and we haven't moved the needle at all on poverty in America. But we spent $27 trillion trying to slow poverty or change it. It stays at about 12%. You're right. We've moved a lot of wealth and had not a lot of success. Go on.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because the most effective, you know, it's this issue of left and right and so on in America. But the most effective actually measure that we have in the United States, and it has made a difference in poverty, wasn't a Great Society program. It was a Nixon administration program, and it was called the Earned Income Tax Credit. And it's you know, since the Nixon administration, it's been part of our tax code. And essentially, it's a form of negative income tax that if you're working and your pay is below a certain level at tax time, not only don't you owe any taxes, but you get a check from the government. And it's a non-bureaucratic, simple thing that we're very much in favor of and think has to be expanded. But it's interesting because it raises this issue of how do we define ourselves left and right in America? Do we find ourselves in terms of our goals or our means? And one of the perspectives of Bread and Roses is that being very clear about the ends are much more important than the means. And so there may be, I call it Bread and Roses socialism, but, you know, there may be a, you know, a libertarian agenda or a compassionate
but you
Republican
are a socialist,
agenda,
right? I mean, you're a socialist. You're a utopian socialist. That's how you describe yourself, right?
Yes, that's true. And part of it, when I say utopian, is that we're thinking long term. We're not playing whack-a-mole like many in the Democratic Party, and which we're thinking in terms of major cultural and political transformations. And so we're similar in a certain sense to the whole pre-Marxian tradition of utopians. And of course, the United States, America, the American experience was very much built on the idea
of
utopias.
Well, give me one thing. What would you transform? You got 30 seconds. Tell me what you would transform.
Well, in 30 seconds, I would go in 20 years to democratic ownership of the means of production, by which I mean basically that the bottom 90% of Americans should come to own 75% of the corporate stock in America, and every stakeholder should be represented on corporate boards.
Why?
So we saw just the other day the top.
Why should people be represented on boards of companies they don't own? Why?
Because, and this is just what the CEOs were saying, I don't know if you saw it, but the major statement from the CEOs saying that we have to repurpose corporate...
Hold on, hold that thought. Just stop for a second. I've got to go to a break here. I've got room. Stick with me for a moment. Jerome Siegel, Dr. Jerome Siegel, a utopian socialist on The Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back. For your health issues? Are you sick and tired of being tired and sick? Well, Wyckoff Wellness in East Lansing offers IV energy boost infusions, ozone infusions, ultraviolet blood irradiation, chelation, plus IV vitamin, mineral, and nutrient treatment. Buy a package of 5 infusions or treatments this month and save big with discount pricing. IV therapies can help improve energy, treat chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, autoimmune diseases, Lyme disease, cancer, and more. Find out more at WYCOFFwellness.com or call 517-333-7270. You never want to make that call to the insurance company. I know I don't, but when you have to, you have to. I'm Steve Gruber, and that's why I trust Mauer Foster Insurance. Just recently, I had to make that call. My truck got banged up, and it needed some work. I called Mauer Foster for answers. What a relief to deal with a team of professionals that knew exactly what I needed. It took one phone call, my repairs were in motion, and now I'm back on the road. So when anyone asks me, who do I trust for insurance? That's easy. Mauer Foster Insurance in Lansing.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
The tradition.